Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
It's a joy this morning. First, let me say two or three things. First, thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your cards. Thank you for your love. I've felt it lots over the last month. It takes 2 to 3 months to recover from what I'm going through. I'm 1 month as of today, so I'm out and starting to pace myself, and I'm thrilled to be here, and you have inspired me. So thank you, first of all, for all your prayers and help. Second thing I want to introduce, Debbie and I come from a long line of her whole entire family, 6 of the 7 children were involved in missions. If you didn't know and understand who we were, that's something on her side. And Dan and Joy are here. Dan, would you all stand, please? Dan and Joy. And Dan has been 30 years missions in the Caribbean. He's been a Caribbean coordinator for all the Caribbean islands. He personally almost had a heart attack, spent hours and hours and hours and hours leading the Haiti earthquake relief for one big organization, and now you are with World Hope International, and they constantly are sending people out, and right now they are in the Bahamas working. And Dan and Joy, thank you for all your years of missions work. And Dan is the big brother who tries to keep my wife in line, but it doesn't work either by him doing that. So, Paul and Kathy, would you guys stand, please? Paul and Kathy are from originally from Alaska, the North Pole, Alaska area. And Kathy is our sister-in-law, and Debbie's brother Don was her first husband, and Don gave his life on the mission field. He was a missionary pilot, and he was flying different missionaries into remote villages, and on one of those occasions a plane went down and she lost her husband, which was Debbie's brother, on the mission field. And then God sent her one of the godliest men I've been around, Paul, who came, and she had 4 children and was trying to make it in life, and Paul has been such a beautiful godsend. And Kathy is a nurse and has given her life in nursing over the years in missions. So glad to have you all with us this morning as well. As I thought of this time with you, I first wanted to be able to spend a few moments in the Word and just share with you what God has been doing in my heart over the last few months. As I have learned that I had cancer, and then over the last month as I went through the surgery and recovery. And there are 2 particular passages of Scripture that God has used over and over and over, and I know I've heard them all my life and I've got them memorized, but it's just again made fresh to me, one Old Testament passage and one New Testament passage. Psalms 91 says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust." So in the month, sometimes you do all kinds of different Bible studies. I've taken Bible study methods or hermeneutics, and I've looked at depth at numerous ways, but sometimes you are at a place in your life where you take a passage, and over a 2-week period, I never got out of the first verse. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High." And God began to say, "This is for you. Go deep with me, and let's understand what it is to go through affliction and through the hard times." Now, you have to understand my life. Most of you, there were a few of you who saw this, but we've had now 2 graduating classes since this time. But most of you don't understand the early part of my life, which was at 30 years old in the ministry. I was out speaking one day, and this occurred that afternoon as I was leaving. That was what happened to me at 30 years old. That was my car. After preaching that morning on the passage I'm getting ready to read, I was hit head on, and I was in the hospital for 30 days. The first week, they didn't know if I would make it. I had a blood clot at the base of my brain. I had blood clots forming going toward my lungs. My whole entire left side, as you can see, was crushed. The seat was on top, or the steering wheel and motor positions had been pushed back on me, and I was unable to walk for almost a year. I understood hardship. You can take that down now. I understood hardship. I understood pain. And so since 30 years old, for the last 23 years, I have lived every day with 13 screws in my back, 20 screws in this arm. This arm will not turn. I have a huge cyst on my shoulder where the shoulder was crushed. I have a cyst in my neck where you don't see it, but sometimes I'll be walking and I stumble because my body goes numb from here down. And this was a guy who loved sports, who in college intramurals, I averaged about 15 points a game. I hit 9 three-pointers in a game. I could play ball. I enjoyed it. Loved football. Lifted weights. Leg pressed 750 pounds with my legs. I was one of the stronger guys in my class. It was absolutely there. And I was a weightlifter. I was there. I did it. I made it happen. And some of you are looking like, you really didn't do that. Yeah, I did. I really did. Because I was a farm boy. I worked on the farm. I lifted weights. I lifted hay. That's what I did in the summer. I was strong. And at 30 years old, all of it was gone in one car crash. One car crash. Gone. In 1 year, I went to I could not lift 5 pounds. At 30, in the ministry, wondering what's going on. So for a long time, I've just said, okay, God, it's about attitude. And I'm going to have a great attitude. If you will give me the joy, I'm going to have joy. And then at 53, I'm not supposed to get cancer. At 53, total surprise, having back pain, go to the doctor. I'm sleeping a couple hours a night. You guys didn't know that. I'm smiling every day. I want to project the joy of the Lord to you. I go to the doctor and boom, I'm hit with cancer. More pain. Understand pain. Understand sleeping 2 hours a night. And I would say to all of you, if you haven't faced hard times, and some of you have faced really hard times, abuse, you've been through the struggles of parents who were not appropriate to you, unkind. You've been through the loss of loved ones. You've been through severe loss financially, some of you. You've been through situations that I cannot even comprehend or understand. You understand pain emotionally. You understand it spiritually. You understand it physically. All of us will have pain in our lives. And what I've learned is when we're going through the crisis, there's a secret place. And three aspects really over a 2-week period jumped out to me about the secret place of the Most High. First of all, in the secret place of the Most High, you can find spiritual oneness and unity with God. Spiritual oneness and unity with God. I would say to you when I went through the car wreck for 30 days, and I'd say to you this morning, that the last month and that year that I was in the car wreck, when I went through severe depression, when I was suicidal, I was on 19 days, 17 days of morphine. And after coming off 17 days of morphine, the crash, the pain was so severe in the hospital. that I told Debbie, I don't want to live anymore. I can't handle life. I can't handle anything. And I'm a Christian man in ministry. I'm a God-fearing man. But life had hit me so hard, I didn't want to go on. In those times, I have found that your spirit can become one with God. And there's two ways this happens. This spiritual oneness or unity of spirit allows us to catch the purposes that God has for our lives. When you're flat of your back, when I was 2 weeks at home here, I just would be there and you're staring at the ceiling, you're trying to find something decent to watch on TV, which is not possible today almost. Or you're trying to find some way, some type of good video of Christian singing or some type of good preaching, whatever might be the case. You're trying to find something. I finally found that really my soul found its comfort in God. The peace that passed us all understanding was from the Holy Spirit abiding. It was not the routine of life. Because I was still before God, the unity brought a depth of oneness to where I could almost sense the Holy Spirit resting right in that room with me. In fact, I sensed that. It's the understanding of the Holy One and the holy purpose for which we are here that occurs in the times of affliction. And so there's two things that God began to teach me about this oneness. First of all, was acceptance. Acceptance of what was going on in my life. You will never be at peace in your life as you go forward until you accept that God knows what He's doing. That God has a grander purpose. You will never be at peace until you understand that He has a plan for your life. And when you become one with Him, and I finally said, surrendered, I said, Lord, I accept the cancer for my life at 53, in the prime, when I've studied and studied and studied years, and I'm ready to really give something back, Lord, I accept You if it means shortened life, if it means I'm not president, if it means I'm not CIU at CIU, if it means I'm in a bed the rest of my life, I accept what You have given. You see, He was conforming me to His image, and it starts with you accepting the trials of life. Secondly, there had to be not only an acceptance, there had to be an alignment of my will with God's will. I had to come to a place of surrender. We talk about surrender in the Christian life. I believe once you are saved, you're going to continue to walk and you're going to come to a point where you're going to understand that there's the lordship of Christ must be ruling in your life. If you study church history, in my limited knowledge of studying, it does not matter which denomination, study Catholicism, study Wesleyanism, study Calvinism, you study in any passage, and I've read much on this subject, there is some point where you die to self. There's a death. And you surrender to God. We believe that. We teach that. And I remember saying, God, You're Lord of my life. I remember giving God my whole life with regard to the whole idea of I wanted to be a veterinarian and I wanted to study at Virginia Tech. And I had all the plans laid out. And God said, no, I want you to be involved in ministry. And I remember that, where I surrendered. And when it came to cancer, there was a surrender that had to take place to where I said, okay, God, I align my will with Your will. And honestly, I couldn't do that. The Holy Spirit had to come alongside and shape me and form me into the image that Christ wanted. As I began to look at this passage, there was another passage that came to my mind in the New Testament that God directed me to as I studied and read in the time on the bed of affliction, where he shared with me this passage, "My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness." And at 53 years old, here's what I would say to you, students. You cannot accomplish anything in life without God being your strength. Now, when you're flat of your bed, flat on the bed, and you are there alone, and you have had pneumonia 3 times, and you're fighting for breath, you begin to understand that even life itself is not something you control. You don't control strength. Weightlifter, 5 minutes, no strength. I don't control my strength. I don't control CIU. I don't control anything about my life with regard to the strength side of things. God is our source of strength, is what I've found. And so if you're going to live for purpose in life and have spiritual oneness and unity, you're going to have to understand that God knows what He's doing. And my mind was just driven as I studied this so beautifully to Jeremiah 29. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." 1 Thessalonians 5:18. "Give thanks in all your circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Jesus, in Christ Jesus." Proverbs 3:5-6. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. But in all your ways acknowledge Him, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight." And 1 Peter 2:15 was a new passage God pointed out to me. "You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised." Understand that we have to, in the times in our life when things aren't going like we want them to go, we have to find spiritual oneness through alignment and through acknowledgement of Him as our source. Secondly, the secret place is not only a place of oneness, but I've alluded to it, but I'm going to go a little more deeply. It's a place of strength. While on the bed of affliction, I was strengthened by your prayers, and I was strengthened by the Holy Spirit through the inner man. It's not some made-up fantasy when we say we are praying for you to think that nothing will happen. To think that, someone just prayed for me. We have a God in heaven who hears those prayers. We have a high priest who's taking our utterings and groanings. The Spirit itself is carrying those to our Heavenly Father. The flow of the Holy Spirit restoring the mind and the soul and the body has been over the last 30 days something that I have absolutely felt over and over and over again. We must not accept only the situation that we in, that, hey, I have cancer, that I have a likelihood that the cancer will return at some time in my life. And I acknowledge my helplessness in this situation. But I realize in that time I will not sit around and mope and groan and complain. The joy of the Lord will be my strength. I understand in that time that in my weakness He is made strong. In acknowledging our need of Him, we find all we need in Him. I don't know how many times my mind went back to the song, "I need Thee. Oh, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee, Lord." The manliness that I used to feel when I lifted weights, there's no better feeling than that. Represented zero strength after cancer surgery. my ego or anything that I thought that I possessed. When you're flat on your back in a bed and you can't even get out of bed without someone helping you, and you can't get a shower and you can't brush your teeth and can't comb your hair, and somebody's there giving you everything you need, you don't have much manliness. In fact, if you want to go to the hospital, or if you want to find a place where you guys can find out how little manliness you have, just go to a hospital. They'll take you right down to the core. A good surgery, that'll take care of that for you. But what I was realizing in everything that I went through, He's my source. He's conforming me to His image. He was taking me deep in trust to Him. And I was learning that His grace was sufficient for me. I was understanding what it was to be in the secret place and have the strength and sustenance of the King laying out His table, the bread of the King. I was understanding this, that in the secret place, that as Isaiah 43:2 says, when you pass through the waters, I understood He would be with me. In fact, in the original, in the translation of that, He said, based on my being and my word, I will be with you. Students, in a world where everybody's clamoring to say, what is truth? In a world when everybody's hearing about this and that, you read on the internet, I'm a Facebook guy. Some of you guys follow me. I like to read Facebook. It's hilarious. Just to sit out there and see what someone says or how strongly opinionated some people are. I used to be one of those. Sometimes I do it just for fun. Just throw something out. Isn't that great? Throw something out and everybody's passionate and going after it. I'll say, oh, you really care about this? You know, just put it out there. In a world in which hardly anyone knows truth, in a world in which so many are seeking, let me point you to a firm foundation that based on His word and based on His being, He will be with us. The word of God became powerful in this time with me. The source of strength came from God. The reason I'm here this morning is because God is my refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. The reason I'm here this morning is because Psalm 18 says, the Lord, the name of the Lord, is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. The reason I'm here this morning is because Nehemiah 8:10 says, do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The reason I'm here this morning is because Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's not about me, it's about God. He is our source of strength. The third thing I realized in this time was that this hiding place, Psalms 91, He who dwells in the secret place will have unity with the Most High and will be dependent on the Most High for strength. And we will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. He is my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. And that place is a place also of security. I'm reminded that security and protection are one of the keys to life. If you don't take care of some of Maslow's hierarchy of basic needs, if you don't understand that the very basic premise of security is a key to our existence, you will not understand this passage as well. And Psalms 91 says, I, God, will be your place of refuge, your place of security. I'm quickly reminded that under his wings is a great resting place. I'm reminded that protection is there for bitterness of soul, for anxiety, for fear, so many other emotions that arise. Can you believe in the last month I've had all those? For a moment, you start being fearful. For a moment, you become anxious when you can't breathe well. For a moment, you say, what's the future like? But only in the secret place do we find places of security. It's a place of sweetness. It's a place of surety. Some of the sweetest times I've had have been this month when Jesus would come and meet with me. I'm alone in my room, and the sweet presence of Jesus was there. Students, I want you to know that. I want you to understand the sweetness of his presence. As I battled the last couple months, this whole idea of cancer, and have battled a car wreck over the years, I've learned that God has enough grace for me. Therefore, most gladly will I boast. I will boast in my infirmities that Christ may rest upon me. And I'll be able to say, and can say this morning, that when Christ breaks you deeply, he's going to use you greatly. I've seen it in my own life. I've had so many people walk up to me and say, Dr. Smith, how have you been able to do what you've done in your life? I don't take any glory. I boast in the weakness. I boast in Christ. He alone deserves the credit. But one of the things God's done in this time too, when you're going through the crisis and you're going through hard times, God surprised me a couple of times. Even this morning, nice surprise. You know, when you're flat on your back and you're just there and you don't get to be around the faculty and I don't get to be around you as students, and you're there and you're thinking, okay, do I have to go through chemo? See, the doctor was talking about chemo and he was talking about immunotherapy. We began to discuss those and the doctor said to me, if the cancer has spread drastically, then you will have to go through one or both of these. And Dr. Smith, if you do, it will take you down to a shell of a man. You'll probably lose 50 pounds. You'll become very, very fragile. Your health will rest on a precipice. You didn't know I was having all those discussions, but that's what Miss Debbie and I were hearing. And so you go back home after that, and you start saying, wow, Lord, have you used my life in any way? So in that time, a couple of things happened that God really used to encourage me. First of all, there was a young man that I've prayed with for 25 plus years, and he's probably called me several hundred times, if not 1,000 times, when you say, Debbie. Just, I've worked with him that many times over the last 25 years. And I was able to lead him to the Lord about 6 months ago. And when I went in for surgery, guess who drove 3.5 hours to be there on the day of surgery? And he said, for 7 months, I told you about him, a man who drank vodka every day for 30 years, 1/5 of liquor. You say, no way, no way. Yes, he didn't even become drunk when he would drink 1/5 of liquor every day. His bones had died. He had necrosis. He ended up in the hospital. That's when I was able to work with him and lead him to the Lord, because he had both hips replaced from the death of his bones from drinking that much alcohol. And now for 7 months, that man has served Jesus and now is enrolled at CIU studying for ministry. Only God. And God saved that till I was in flat of the bed and didn't think I was worth anything. Andre, you met him, didn't you?
Yes, sir.
Andre met him that day at the hospital. 7 months, 25 years. God knew that this guy who prayed for him for 25 years and worked with him for 25 years and became exasperated with him at times, God knew exactly what kind of encouragement I would need when he would text me, "I am praying for you now. You prayed for me every day." And he asked me once, he said, "Teach me how to pray." And I said, "Well, every day. You take a list and names and you pray for them and the needs that God impresses to your heart and the needs you know about. And you just say, 'Lord, would you be with Jeff today? Would you be with Mark today?'" And he said, "You taught me how to do that. So now I'm doing that every day for you." Is that awesome? Surprises of God. One of the things you'll learn if you know Mark Smith is I have a huge heart for evangelism. I love people. I love leading people to Christ. And so I conclude with this that God did for me. I went out just the week before surgery. Dr. John Maxwell brings in about 100 of his top leaders from around the world. We are leading 1 million people to Christ every single year through Equip. We've set up a system. We've been in all 192 countries. Now it's probably changed today. It changes every few weeks. It changes. But 192. We have leaders in those countries. We have business leaders in those countries. We've trained them how to share the gospel. I led a team. We did. Dr. Chrisman actually was involved in that. Dr. Chrisman, we went to Argentina. We had six times we went to Argentina. We trained people. We're trying to win the world for Jesus Christ. So that's something I've been involved in. And out of all his leaders, Chris Hodges down at Church of the Highlands, who runs 30 or 35,000, Tom Mullins runs 100,000 in Palm Beach on the Easter Sunday. These guys are aggressive, going out, changing the world, winning it for Christ. While I was in Pebble Beach, Dr. Maxwell said, "Mark, I want to do something for you." He said, "I give each year one evangelism award out." And that, just before my surgery, Dr. Maxwell gave me this evangelism award. This little instrument is one of the countries we're working in right now, called Paraguay. And the children of the dump make these instruments. And Dr. Maxwell has worked with those 300 children. And now this has become an internationally acclaimed orchestra made from dump pieces. He presented me with this little violin that he bought. And this probably will be the most special award I've ever received in my lifetime. Knowing that children who are in extreme poverty are giving themselves just to make a living daily, are now being led to Christ by our group that we're involved with, and that he would present us to me. So I wanted to leave you with this, that God not only gives us a place of security, but God gives us a place, or he gives us at times a few surprises to encourage us. God's with us. God's on our side. If you haven't figured it out yet, I told my wife yesterday, I told some friends yesterday, I told the family yesterday, I told Paul and Kathy last night, if God took me today, I have loved life. If God took me today, I love ministry. I wouldn't go back and be a veterinarian, no way. Ministry's the life. God breathes coming through you. And God just encouraged us with some surprises. So students, faculty, staff, I want you to know God's real. And God's with us no matter what we face. And God has a purpose for your life. Father, I pray over every person here today. Help us to accept what you bring into our lives. Help us to surrender to your will. And help us to understand that's a safe, secure resting place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.
Amen. Hey, can we give Dr. Smith a huge round of applause, you guys?
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.